This is Laura Dierdo with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. I'm thrilled today to be joined by Annette Walker, President of City of Hope Orange County. Annette, it's a pleasure to have you on the podcast today.
Thank you, Laura. It's just great to be here.
Now, I know we have a lot to talk about. There's so much happening and a lot of exciting things, especially for City of Hope and its expansion. But before we dive into my questions, can you tell us a little bit more about yourself and your background?
Sure. As you said, Laura, I'm President of City of Hope Orange County. I've had a 40 plus year career in healthcare. Originally, I was a clinical lab scientist and made my way into strategy, which was my greatest love of positioning organizations for the future and building opportunities for people. So I'm here at City of Hope now in Orange County, and I was asked to come to the organization to build a City of Hope in Orange County, California.
Fantastic. Well, I'm excited to learn more about that. Can you tell me about City of Hope and how its expansion with Cancer Treatment Centers of America is going and moving really towards a system?
Oh, absolutely. Well, for those of you who don't know, City of Hope is one of the largest cancer research and treatment organizations in the country. The national system now includes not only our Los Angeles campus and now Orange County, but also Atlanta, Chicago, and Phoenix, where we have really significant opportunities in those markets to extend our mission to treat, prevent, and cure cancer. What's really, really unique about City of Hope is its sole focus. It's one of the things that I've come to appreciate the most since I've been here. So imagine you have this organization with 11,000 colleagues and 600 physicians and 1,000 scientists and researchers who are all focused on beating the heck out of cancer. Last year, we treated about 135,000 patients, and each year, discoveries that have been made at City of Hope are impacting more than 100 million lives each and every year.
That's amazing. 100 million lives is a lot of people to be really helping and treating and making sure that they're in a good space. So that's very, very impressive. Now, I was wondering, why did City of Hope expand into Orange County? What was really important about that, and how are things going?
Well, you'd be probably really surprised to hear Orange County has 3.2 million people. We're the sixth largest metropolitan area in the United States. But in 2018, 20% of the people who lived in this county felt the need to leave the county for specialized cancer care and research, specifically the things that City of Hope is so good at. And as a resident of Orange County, it was, you know, shocking to me myself. It's like, oh my gosh, well, we need to bring those things to the people of Orange County. And so City of Hope was invited by a developer who wanted to, in a new area of Orange County, create a flagship health system, or invite a flagship health system in, and they invited City of Hope. So combining the market need with the fact that we already had like 4,000 patients who were making a two-hour drive to get our services in Los Angeles, we're just really answering the call of the community and try to fill a need here to bring specialized cancer specialists and research to this community.
Fantastic. And what a great mission. I know how important it is to serve the community that you're in and really making it convenient these days for patients to get the care that they need. Now, when you think about where you're at over the last year, what has been your progress and any updates on how that really expansion has been going and what's really next for City of Hope?
Well, it's been just amazing. Well, I'll talk about the expansion of City of Hope across the country. And, you know, we all of the City of Hope locations now are bearing the City of Hope name. So you can look forward to seeing more of our great capabilities being in all those communities we talked about. In Orange County specifically, in the last year, we did complete and open the Outpatient Cancer Center. And we also broke ground on what is going to be Orange County's only hospital that will be 100% focused on cancer. It will be a specialty cancer hospital. And what that means to the patients in this community, as in all the communities, access to those 600 plus cancer specialists and 1,000 researchers so that we can provide the most advanced care that is known to the communities that we serve.
Got it. That's really helpful to know. And I can imagine there's so much that goes into those building projects, and it's been impressive to see how you've been able to do that, especially over the past couple of years during the pandemic. This project came in on time and on budget during the height of COVID and the complications that the pandemic presented. How did that happen? And what did you learn through that process?
Well, I won't say there wasn't divine intervention, because there were plenty of days that I thought, oh my God, this is never going to happen. We're in trouble. But I've really tried to reflect on, if I could only say a few things that stand out, what would those things be? The closest I had previously in my career ever gotten to a construction project was like picking out the furniture in my office. So it wasn't like this was a well-honed skill, being responsible for building anything. But what I learned during the process, and this is, I think, an important lesson to maybe anybody who's listening, that there are going to be circumstances in your career where you can take what you learned in one scenario and apply it into a new situation. And one of the ones that come to mind here is even how we discuss the construction project. I was talking to our construction manager a few weeks ago, and he goes, yeah, I'm getting calls too. People are saying, how in the world did you do it? And I said, well, what did you think you learned? He said, well, the way we ran the meetings. A long time ago in healthcare, I got my black belt in lean. And one of the lean things that I learned was that pay attention to where you're off target, the things that can jeopardize you achieving your goal. Instead of spending all your meeting time talking about, oh, how awesome everything is, and yeah, we did this, we did that, but not really addressing things that could put you in jeopardy and marshaling your resources and troops to focus on taking care of those problems, because the green lights are all still going to go. And what he said to me, he goes, you know, our construction meetings with the owners have always previously been the dog and pony show to tell you how great we are and everything we did in the last 2 weeks. He goes, but using this methodology, you flipped it on its head, and we spent our time on making sure that we were looking at problems before they were totally off the rails and we were trying to address them. So I think trust your instincts, that you may know more about a situation than you think you do. And it doesn't mean you don't go in with humility and you don't go in to learn. But believe me, I know more about, like, anybody who's done construction will say, I've learned my hard lesson on change orders and what they mean to a construction project. But I do think there's something about addressing new opportunities and not thinking you're going in totally blind, that you do have means of dealing with these, and your old experience is probably going to be a great asset to you. The second one was don't close the door on crazy ideas. One of my most favorite stories about disasters and impending disasters, I go into the construction meeting one day and they go, we're not going to open on time. Like, what do you mean we're not going to open on time? We have to open on time because it's impossible. We are short doors. And I'm like, well, big deal. Doors? What do you need doors? I mean, we can open without doors. Oh, no, we can't open without doors, because see, without doors, you can't get sign-offs on the ventilation system. You can't get the fire department to sign you off for occupancy. It's this big cascade of what's going to not happen if you don't have doors. And I'm like, okay, I've come to terms with, we don't have doors. So, well, how many could we possibly need? And they said, 800. I was like, oh my God, no way, 800. And the issue was the materials could not get to the door makers to get the doors on time. So did more problem solving and figured out we could do everything on the doors. We could do the hardware, we could do everything and have it ready except for the door. So is there anything else we could do? And one of the construction guys goes, how about temporary doors? And it was like, that ended up being the solution. That kept the timeline on time. And that worked us around a difficult supply chain issue. So I've learned that crazy ideas are not necessarily crazy. The other thing that was, I think, a lesson was, we tend to like get our project management. So if you've been on a project, you'll see all these sequential things that are going on. And in construction, it seems like there's more sequential things than there are concurrent. And we learned that you can run things more concurrently than maybe you imagined when you really press yourself. So my example there was, we were running late on the move-in date, the furniture move-in date. And if you miss your window with these furniture moving companies, well, you might not see them for 10 days. So the lesson is you can't miss your window. So I'm sitting there going like, how can we not miss our window? We don't have departments. We don't have the fire department sign off yet to give us permission to move the furniture in on the date that we had it all arranged. So we sat again and we said, what would possibly work? And somebody, this is something I learned that I didn't know of. You probably don't know what it is, called a fire watch. And during construction, you can hire people to sit in the building and they're basically like human fire alarms. And they watch the building until all the other things are signed off to let the furniture come in. So the idea was, could we write the fire department and ask them that if we deployed this strategy, would they give us sign off to move the furniture in? Lo and behold, they did. So it's like not waiting till every single thing was done, but trying to do it concurrently and doing it at the same time. There were several things, or many, many things that kept us on time, because we really pushed the envelope on that and didn't want it this tidy little, okay, now we're done with step A, we can go to step B. But I think maybe the last and most important was our posturing about the target date. You see, the target wasn't just a date. The target represented hope to this community and to our patients. You probably don't know this, but I learned, is that during the first Apollo mission, it was off target about 90% of the time, and they had to keep readjusting to stay on course. And yet, despite all that, history was made. And I think our project was similar. We had said to the community, we had put this hope in it. At the time we started, it sounded like it was far away. But when we announced a date, we had set a distance. We had set a location of where we had to get there. And this organization, City of Hope, had entrusted us to be the custodian of these resources to get us there. And the community was depending on us. So every day when we look back on that date, there was this army of individuals who were counting on us to do it. So everything was built around 8/22/22. We started construction in September of 2020. It was the middle of the lockdowns. And we just kept, actually our, the 22/22 was an exceptional delivery date. September 22 is the target delivery date, but we have a really exceptional team here in Orange County, though. We want to go after exceptional performance. And I just tell you, we actually forgot that it was only 8/22/22 was acceptable. And I remember, I want to say maybe December or January, I kept getting these notes from different people in different parts of the project. And they go, you got to push the date back. We're never going to make it. You got to push the date back. If we don't do push the date back now, we're going to run into all kinds of problems and blah, 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 blah. And I finally said, listen, I will push the date back on August 21st at midnight if we hadn't made it. Because up until August 21st at midnight, we can mitigate, we can strategize, we can keep working on being able to open for our patients. And then pretty soon, I said that enough times, people stopped asking and people just got to it. And it was the hallelujah chorus of 8/22/22. And we made it right on time, right in the delivery date, and welcomed that first patient that morning. So I think that sometimes we tend to make these projects that they're about, it's about a construction project. It was never a construction project. It was a project to bring hope and bring our services to the people of Orange County. And that's why it mattered that we hit our date.
That's so inspiring to hear. And I really appreciate you talking through not only the nuts and bolts of what you did to make sure that the project was formalized and done on time, but then really to talk about the vision and strategy behind it too. I think it's so important as an executive like yourself to have both of those views of it and then really be able to align them and make it work. And I think especially looking at how challenging it can be right now to be a leader in any industry, but then especially healthcare with just a lot going going on, you know, from whether it's the workforce shortages or other challenges, supply issues still, that can really make it tough to provide care for communities. It seems like, you know, you really had a great leadership style in that way, in a really great way to lead through some of these projects. Now, just one more question before we wrap up. When you look into the future, you know, what do you see as being really important for City of Hope? What projects are you still are on the docket, or are things you're excited about going forward?
Well, we are building the hospital. So that, of course, takes a lot of time. But I'm so excited about the clinical trials we're bringing to the community and the breadth of it. And this is not just for City of Hope Orange County, but what City of Hope is going to be able to do across the country with the extension of our clinical trials. One of the most exciting ones I have the opportunity to see close-up view on is our prevention. You know, the best way to treat cancer is prevented in the first place. And some of our prevention and early detection clinical trials are, to me, some of the greatest hope for our future. In addition to, you know, all the things we do for people who do have it and the outright miracles that I'm able to witness here in my job sometimes, it's just beyond inspiring. It makes all that stuff that you talked about, the challenges of our industry, seem small when you see what some of our patients are dealing with and the opportunities we have to alleviate their suffering and bring joy to their lives. Another point is that the people are everything. We started in 2018 with 4 people and we grew to 450 in 4 years. So no matter how well things go, how well things are planned, no matter how great your strategy is, nothing will ever make up for having the wrong people. This team was truly amazing and up for the challenge. And everyone on the team did what they could to make hope a reality here in Orange County.
Amazing. Annette, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast today. This has been a really fun discussion, and I look forward to connecting with you again soon.
Oh, thanks so much, Laura. You have a great day, and everybody listening, have a great day.